happen from here onwards. At least we're going to be party and privy to what that looks like, because it is indeed in many ways a part of the puzzle to much of the violence that we've seen in the taxi industry in the Western Cape. But yeah, you might have your own views. Do share those with us on our studio line 089-110-3377, or you can reach us on our WhatsApp line. Send through your voice notes, which we're going to be playing in the next few minutes, on 079-191-4270. But we now shift our attention to Tologazi Beer, and we catch up with Apiwe Ngusane Mawela, the entrepreneur behind Tologazi Beer. She is a brewer, and fallen on some tough times during the pandemic and having to close down her operations. But it seems there's been a silver lining in this particular story, and she joins me now on the line to tell us a bit more about her new market opportunity out in Europe. And Apiwe, good evening to you and welcome.
Good evening, good time. Happy New Year.
Compliments, man. I'm going to
in a very good note.
Yes,
I think last year was probably, will go down in the history as the most stressful year for me.
Yeah.
It's been quite great to start the year on such a good note.
No, definitely. I mean, good news is always something to relish. But maybe take some of our listeners back to end 2019, or this time maybe, in 2020. In 2020, what were your plans? What were your big designs for what you wanted to do with your microbrewery? And how did those, I guess, get disrupted by what unfolded in March 2020?
January 2020, I think no one saw what was coming. We thought it was something, it's a China that will stay there. So my plans was, I just employed, increased my team, was sitting on 8 permanent staff. I was planning to launch my own beer range, Tologazi Beer. We were 6 months, just over 6 months in production, having started the brewery, was about to start repaying loans, projections were looking all good, life looked promising. Then March 2020 happened. Obviously, we had the lockdown. Thereafter, as everyone knows, we had the ongoing alcohol bans. It was a nightmare. And 2021 looked a bit promising. Then I had to close down my brewery, 2021 June. Because I just could not afford to keep the company going. I could not afford to keep the people employed, or service loans, pay rentals, because of obviously coming out of the alcohol bans and the opening and closing that was happening. So 2021, that's when we closed down. Thereafter, I decided to focus on Tologazi, the brand, which I did manage to launch in the beginning of 2020. So that's what I've been focusing for the past 6 months. And fortunately, through LinkedIn, actually, got to connect with a few people in the international space, in the beer space. And I was sharing my journey, actually, on social media. So the people that follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, I actually have been taking them through my journey. So the guys are like, seeing what's happening in South Africa, how can they help? And that's where the discussions on actually brewing the beer in Europe and distributing it started.
Yeah, and talk to us about that. I mean, my understanding, certainly having spoken to you, as the microbrewery, I guess, was really starting to come into its own, was that you were also brewing your own beer, but you were also presenting an opportunity to brew, sort of brews for other people. And now you find yourself where you've got this offer to brew in Croatia, but also potential market access opportunity into the United Kingdom. How did that happen?
So I did, like you said earlier on, I was brewing not only for myself, I was brewing for a few other brands. So my business model before we closed the brewery was creating a platform for other young entrepreneurs to enter the alcohol space. I still believe in the models, by the way. I still believe there's a lot of room for that in the country when we talk about, you know, economic liberation, we talk of transformation, we talk of all these other terms we use, I still believe that for me is something I'll really at some point like to go back to. But, I mean, this opportunity for me, it was, I think it was, when it came by, actually, to be honest with you, I was like, hey, what if it's one of these, you know how it is, social media, you can never trust everything you read and see. But through research and researching the company, BR52, they're actually one of the biggest beer clubs in Europe. They have 100,000 subscribers. And so they were able to make 200,000 units of my beer, which will go out to all their members. So for me, when I went through and researched the company and what they're doing, had Zoom calls with them, met the team, met the brewers. I thought it was an opportunity not to be missed. You know, it's one of those things that opportunities that come once in a lifetime, and you kind of have to take it and see where it leads.
Yeah, and just the difference, I mean, between you know, your assessment of what the market would have done here, or what that market is here, some of their preferences, their tastes, and all of that, and I guess you know, the markets in Europe and also in the United Kingdom.
So there are, obviously I'm relying a lot on social media and the reviews. So there is a platform called Untappd where it's quite big in Europe where people actually review different beers.
Okay.
So based on that, I've had a lot of people reviewing the beer and giving it very good scores, like 5 out of 5 and 4s. And I think also the market there when it comes to craft beer is more matured. In the sense that the people that are willing to try out, you know, different flavors, different tastes, and like the brand story, Tologazi, because we also did a feature on the magazine, so there was a bit of explaining that went out with the beer itself, what the brand is about, what Tologazi means, why sorghum, the Pilsner, because we chose to do the sorghum Pilsner, because for me that tells the African story. And people are loving that story, and they're loving how the product tastes, and seems to be doing very well. I mean, people are taking me on Instagram, drinking the beers, and rating it also.
So, liyathandwa eli jiki lasematolweni pa, e-Europe. So maybe I guess the other element, you know, to this particular development is what it then means for the prospect of producing some of your beer here again. Because, I mean, I'm interested, if the moment you get massive access to that market, we know, you know, how big some of the brands that are big in that part of the world are here on our continent. Do you see that as something, as an avenue of opportunity, I guess, where, you know, consumers in that part of the world will influence the preferences and tastes, as they often do, of other consumers here on the continent and other parts of the third world, and maybe getting potential markets, I mean, getting your beer into a place like China, for instance?
Yes, I mean, you know how trends are. I think South Africans and Africans as a whole, we follow a lot of the European trends. So I am hoping that by having the beer so well received, it will actually trigger more market access in South Africa. I would still obviously want to keep the product truly South African. I am still producing here in South Africa, by the way. I am contract manufacturing.
Sure.
At OC Brewery in Kyasens. So I am hoping that obviously that brand awareness and that exposure would actually translate to a more market reach locally. And I've had some interest also coming out of it in the continent also. I'm in Rwanda, I'm talking to some guys there. So even in the US. So it's really quite an exciting time for the brand. Only God knows what's going to come next.
And I mean, just your sense of some of the big moves that are happening in your space. I mean, we're hearing all manner of consolidation set to happen in some of your bigger, more mainstream competitor brands. And we know many of them come in, they gobble up some of the craft players because they're also looking for share of, you know, spend coming out of the craft space. What do you make of that? And potentially, I guess, you know, the impact that it might have in potentially swallowing up, you know, brands like Tologazi, and, you know, because that's what often happens.
I think for me, at this point in time, I think there's still room in the true African story. I think as consumers, especially coming out of COVID, where we were closed off from the rest of the world, where we had to learn about what is actually available locally and got to learn about all our own products in our backyards, I think consumers are more educated, and they are more wanting to know, you know, is this local? Is this locally manufactured? So as much as the big brands are continuing to grow, and I mean, if you look at some of the decisions, strategic decisions that they're making, it's to access the African market. And I feel we're in a position as Africans to actually maybe turn the tables around and be able to tell our own stories the way we want to tell them. And for me, that's what I want to do with the local, you know, tell the African story, not just locally, but on a global stage. However, obviously, there are financial constraints when it comes to, you know, your distribution network, and which I am hoping, you know, as the brand grows, we'll be able to still manage those in-house without having to sell. But yeah, we ask most. It depends on the briefcase, how many briefcases come. But I am really, I am really hoping that I can try tell the story. You know, the way I would like to tell it for as long as I can.
Yeah. Talk to me about maybe any new potential brands, products coming to the market. I mean, sababona abantu abanye bangena kwi side, abanye bangena kwi hammer, abanye bangena in many of the other sort of product lines that I guess, you know, would be also served by the same base of assets in the microbrewery space.
Yeah, there's a big trend now on non-alcoholic products. I'm sure you've noticed.
Yes.
You know, I think consumers are actually driving a lot of these trends where people are getting more health conscious. You know, obviously with the liquor bill that's been debated, with the changes in the you know, with the alcohol limits. So there's a lot of other influences that will actually drive the industry to innovate and look at ways of still remaining relevant with the changes in legislative and all the other changes that are happening. So I think the big one this year that we're going to see, and it's happening globally, is starting to see more non-alcoholic and not just beer. I mean, you've got guys that do non-alcoholic gin and tonics. You've got non-alcoholic wines. So I think it's going to be quite an interesting one.
And just when you look at, I guess, all of those shifts in consumer preferences and for yourselves, I mean, what does that imply? I mean, do you follow those trends, or do you sort of go deeper in this particular sort of lager space and consider what that might have in store for you?
Yeah, I mean, to remain relevant in the market, you sort of have to obviously look at the trends and see which ones make sense to you, which ones to follow. So the one that I'm looking at, I'll call it following, is the canning trend. So there's a big trend in the craft space where brands are moving to cans. And so that's something that I want to try out for my brand. And I did try the non-alcoholic, but mine didn't really work out. I think I also maybe gave up too early, and the trend was not really picking up. I think now with the trend and consumers being more educated and looking out for this type of products, is something that I will definitely go back to. And I think for me, the last one that I really want to try this year is more collaborations. So where you collaborate with other same products or other, and no, not the same, like an example, like doing gin and tonics, collaborating with gin makers and looking at ways of, you know, relying on each other's customers and sharing that space.
Yeah, talk to me about this canning story. I mean, is it cheaper on the cost side of things? But we also know, I guess, there's been a global shortage of glass. So there's been a bit of an issue
that,
out of necessity.
That is going to drive the trend more. I mean, obviously, we've had our glass bottle manufacturer being bought out. So, and then obviously now with the current shortage that we're having, I think that's going to drive the trend also more towards cans. Cans are lighter in weight, so if you want to transport it, you know, per grams compared to a glass is lighter. They get cold, cans get cold quicker for a consumer perspective. And also when you're doing your labels, you have kind of a bit more space to play around. And now globally the trends, I mean, if you look at the US, most of the craft brewers have moved over to cans, which has also led to another shortage of aluminium. So it's just kind of keeping up with everything that's happening and making more informed decisions.
Yeah. And I guess for many people that are listening into the show, making them realize that it's a bit more complex than just uhluza nje. There's a lot of dynamics. I mean, listen to what Apiwa is saying. She's looking at the aluminium price and the implication that's going to have on the cans that are going to be filled with some of her brews. But Masishi Yapo Mamchenge, and once again, we wish you all of the best in those markets. And we wish many of the South African expats who are listening to us from the United Kingdom, can get your Kangela Ichiki Yangapi Matolweni out there in the United Kingdom as soon as it hits the shelves.
Thank you.
That there was Apiwa Nqusani Mawela. She is the microbrewer behind Dolo Beer. And we take a brief break now. When we come back, we take a listen to some of those voice notes. And we want to hear some of your views. There's also some of the tweets that have been coming through, which have really been interesting as well.